Good morning. As we prepare to worship our Lord this morning, let us join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. We want to extend a very special welcome to all of you, and especially to all of you that are visiting with us this morning. And you'll notice some gold t-shirts scattered around the congregation, and that's members of the Greenwood Salkehatchie Camp, which has now begun. So please make them feel welcome this week. Our youth will be leaving, I think maybe this next weekend, going on their Salkehatchie Camp. We do have one need for this week for the Greenwood Salkehatchie Camp. As you know, working here in Greenwood, it's going to be mighty hot. So they will be taking a break every day and would like to have some popsicles for a break during the day, each day. So if you would be interested in providing popsicles for the Salkehatchie Camp, please contact Kathy and let her know that. Again, visitors, we want you to know that you are welcome here at Main Street. If you are a visitor looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street. And as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, if you would give us your address and phone number, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So if you would now please pass those attendance pads down the pew, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. Our summer fun nights continue this week. This week will be a swim party at the home of Steve and Cindy Skinner. Please make reservations by calling the church office. That will be at 6 o'clock on Wednesday, July the 11th. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you.
Let us stand, please, for the call to worship, as found in your bulletin. Sing praises, O God, O you saints. Sing praises to God, O you saints. And give thanks to God's holy name. We may cry through the night, but your joy comes in the morning. Turn your mourning into dancing. O God, our Savior, we give thanks to you forever. Thank you.
Please be seated and join me in the invocation. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, except that of knowing that we do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I ask you to turn to your insert, and I would like the Salkehatchie kids, youth and adults who are going forth from Greenwood to Salkehatchie Camp in Bamberg next week to please stand in front of the congregation. We already have the Greenwood folks here, but they've already been sent forth, and here is where they landed. Now, this is the group that will be sending forth from Main Street to Bamberg, and also the Nicaragua UMVIM team, which consists of my wife, Caroline, and Allie, and Glenn Williams. They'll be going to Nicaragua in just a few weeks. Join me. God, be merciful to us and bless us. Look on us with kindness. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations. Sarah Adams, Meredith Bunch, Sarah Kaysen, Paige Chalmers, Caroline Dennis, Brooke Faulkner, Heather Faulkner, Ross Fuller, Carrie Jones, Kathy Kelly, Ryan Moore, Jessica Morris, Wesley Runyon, Graham Schaefer, Greg Shelley, Kayla Shelley, Lisa Smith, Mary Lyle Smith, Miranda Stockman, Colby Tharp, Mackenzie Tharp, Emily Wiedemann, Michael Wiedemann, Allie Williams, and Glenn Williams. You are the light of the world. Your light must shine. God, through Christ, changed us from enemies into his friends and gave us the task of making others friends of Jesus also. Our love should not be just works and talks. I heard the Lord say, "Whom shall I send? Who will be our messenger?" Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. Amen. And we do thank you for answering God's call. As we come to our time of prayer, I'd like to lift up Peggy Ackerman, who has been in the hospital, my father, who remains in the hospital in Spartanburg, Ruth Medley, who had a surgical procedure this past week, and then Jim Medley, who had some tests this past week but is here today. Susan McLean asked us to pray for her father-in-law, Theo McLean, who is going to have surgery tomorrow. For our Salkehatchie group here, and for our folks who are going this next week. And also for, we found out this morning, little Jake Clauber, who broke his arm and is hurting and healing at home. We hope that that's a quick healing. And Martha Brookshire, we found out this morning, is in the hospital as well. Let us be in prayer for her. With these concerns in mind and our own personal concerns, confessions, and thanksgivings, let us lift our prayers up together before God. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we come before you to thank you for your love and grace for ourselves and for the world. Forgive us when we think we deserve your goodness. Forgive us when we think we are better than others by virtue of what we have done or what we have not done. Forgive us when we sit down satisfied in our faith and show love for a very small circle and ignore the outsiders all around us. Lord, we claim your grace and forgiveness for ourselves and for our friends and family. And we put our hope in this life and in the next, in your unfailing love. Help us make our circles wider. Help us understand your love for those we call outsiders. Help us open our eyes to the greatness of our Savior, that Jesus is indeed the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Lead us out from your house and into your world among all your people to reveal that we know him and his work by obeying his commands to love as he loved and to forgive as he has forgiven, not just friends and family, but also enemies and outsiders. Lord, we know that faith was meant to be so much larger than it is, for so many more people beyond us and through us. Give us what we need to reflect your light into the darkness of this world, and help us see others as you see them, flawed and fallen, but beloved. Lord, we pray for those who have lost loved ones, for those who are homebound and cannot be with us today, for this church, for the Salkehatchie Mission this week and in the weeks to come, and for the families we will work with here in Greenwood, and for those caught up in war and strife and hunger, and those worn down by disease. And for the leaders of the nations of this world, we pray they be open to the influence of your Holy Spirit, that your will might be more perfectly done. Lord, hear also the silent prayers of our hearts as we lift them before you in our time of private prayer. Lord, hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. I'd like to invite the children down front now for the children's time today with Kit Atkins.
Hello, boys and girls. I see we have some more coming on down. So good to see you here today as we worship God together. Thank you. I want to start by reading a Bible verse, and it's from the King James Version, which is a very old version of the Bible. And this is it. It's from Galatians 6:2, and it says, Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That word bear, as you can see, I like bears. This is a basket full of bears that I borrowed from my niece to help us remember this verse. But we want to think about, what does it mean to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ? And the law of Christ is love. Everybody know that? That God, through Jesus, taught us what it means to love? Well, this is when we bear one another's burdens. Think of burdens as something like problems or, say, something where, for instance, have you ever seen somebody bully somebody else? Or have you ever been bullied? But let's say you're walking home from school or you're in the neighborhood and you see somebody bullying or picking on another person. Well, the way you could bear that person's burden is to go up to the one who is being bullied and be friendly and maybe even tell a parent or a teacher what's going on. Or let's say that you have a friend and the pet dies. Do any of you have a dog or a cat? Or maybe the pet gets lost and your friend is sad. When you bear one another's burdens, you share that burden. You share that concern, that sadness, those feelings. And then think about this group of visitors that we have, these Sakahatchee volunteers. They have given up a week of their time to come to our church, to come to our community, and they are bearing other another's burdens when they go out into homes that need new water heaters and new roofs and a new floor and maybe just help in knowing God's love. They are bearing or sharing the burdens, just like Christ told us to. So when you go back to your room and you see, I bet everybody in here has at least one bear. Everybody have at least one stuffed bear? Think about that bear, and you have two, good. More than two. Well, my niece, as you can see, she gave me about five or six just to show you as a reminder. And I wish I could give you all one, but I think you all have a bear at home. But when you think about bearing another's burdens and fulfilling the law, you're fulfilling the law of love, and you're showing God's love to other people. So can you remember that? Let's go to God in prayer. Dear God, we thank you so much for the volunteers who've come to our church to help bear the burdens of others. Please help us to be willing to love others the way that you love us and for giving us your Son, Jesus. Amen. Thank y'all.
Kit, I should not say this, but your play on the word bear, I'm going to tell. My wife has a bear. She has a stuffed bear, her favorite stuffed bear, and it's made a little bit wrong, and the eyes are too close together. And its name is Gladly. Gladly the cross-eyed bear. That's a very bad pun. It's one of those things I shouldn't have said and didn't write down, and I already thought better of it. Let us please pass the peace.
Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Psalm 30. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Our epistle reading comes from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 16. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you may also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instructions in the Word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And now before our offering, I think most folks have seen the update. We are down on our July balloon payment to about $115,000, and that is keeping in reserve 4 months' interest. Also, I've been asked, how can I donate to the Greenwood Salkehatchee Project? If you would like to give a check, just mark it Greenwood Salkehatchee. If you just put Salkehatchee on the memo of your check, it'll go to our group going out of town. If you mark Greenwood Salkehatchee, it'll all stay used in the homes right here. Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word will not fail you, he promised. Believe him, and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell, and turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Thank you.
gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter, the first 11 verses. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And my theme is the theme that is throughout the reading from Galatians and throughout the whole book of Galatians: law and grace. I think that many of you know, and I've mentioned, that my father is very ill, and my siblings and I have been sharing stories. You know how that goes. You start remembering things as a person's life dwindles down. And sometimes you remember funny stories, and I remember one time my father caught me and one of my brothers fighting, and he decided to let us decide how to punish each other. And we thought, this is great. Dad left the room and we talked it out and we made a deal. And the letter of the law was that you two need to punish each other for fighting. And we both decided that grace was more in order for the likes of us. So each of us promised that we would grab the belt and we would give each other a light couple of licks and call it quits. That way we would fulfill the law of punishment and also show grace. Now you can guess how that went. I hit him once. He hit me harder, I thought. And so my second lick was harder still. And the next thing I knew, we were wailing the tar out of each other with belts until we had to stop and catch our breath. I don't know if that was Dad's plan or not. We wanted grace for ourselves, but the law for the other. And we all tend to do that. Now, if I speak in these terms theologically and philosophically and generally, you'll all be snoring in a very few minutes. And if I make it too personal, you all might be angry in a very few minutes. I think I'm going to go for personal and plain, but give you the benefit of the doubt that you are really listening, and hope you will give me the benefit of the doubt that I am indeed preaching and not merely seeking to gore your ox. And then I thought about it, and I said, you know, gore your ox is not something everybody understands. If you don't know what that means, ox goring means that when someone else's sacred cows are melted down, you don't mind, but when it's your own sacred cow, well, that's just wrong. And now I've explained one metaphor with another metaphor, and I'm going to leave the sacred cows hanging and hope you're with me. From time to time, you see a story in the paper about an outspoken gun control advocate who, it turns out, when a burglar comes in their house, not only owns a gun, but is willing to use it. That's law for you, but grace for me. And from time to time, you will see someone who has swindled a business or swindled the government out of a huge amount of owed tax money, and you wish them many years in prison. That's law for them. But as you do your own taxes, if you could interpret the law one way or the other, it's grace for me. And I remember a particular grandmother who thought that tattoos were trashy and common, not in a good way, and perhaps unchristian in one of my former churches. And she thought all that until her grandmother got a nice little, her granddaughter got a nice little rose tattooed right there on her shoulder. And then she said, well, you know, it's a pretty little rose. It's not a skull. And I don't know why everybody's making such a big deal over it. And those of you who know me know that I am not political in any traditional sense of the word. But I do keep up with current events. And I notice an odd thing that is illustrative. We hear frequently that, and on bumper stickers and t-shirts, that Bush lied, people die. And however you feel about that, it is a matter of public record that in 1998, saying almost word for word what Bush said about weapons of mass destruction, President Clinton fired over several days 400 ballistic missiles into Iraq. Now, this is not a political statement. This is an illustration of how we all tend to demand law and judgment for others, and grace for me and mine. We could go on and on and on until everybody's ox was gored. The Galatians text is talking about God's grace as the most important thing in the world, and the folks in Galatia got it in the beginning, and they rejoiced in it, and they accepted it, and Paul went away satisfied that the church there at least understood grace. And then he came back. And he found them trying to work their way into heaven again, to impress God by their law keeping. There was a group that came in pushing the law as the way to go. And this group had gotten to them. And these folks, with a theological and political and power agenda, wanted Christianity to be just another branch of Judaism. Just another set of rules and regulations and rituals and such. They wanted to keep the law, and to keep the right to look down upon others who did not keep the law as they interpreted it. And just sort of tacked Jesus on the end as grace for me and mine. Now, in case you're wondering, the law really is shorthand for the law of Moses, and that is essentially the Ten Commandments plus the rites and the rituals and the rules. And the law of Christ means grace and grace and grace. Grace that you understand that in your heart you have never, ever, even for a day, kept the law of Moses. And grace that led you to know that you needed forgiveness for your utter self-centeredness. And grace that leads you to an understanding that even when you do a good thing, it is often for a selfish or self-centered reason. And finally, grace that cries out for someone to save you from the downward spiral of self and sin and death. Jesus is God's answer to that cry. Jesus is the someone who saves and heals. Jesus is God intervening when we know we cannot do what we know is good and right. Jesus is God assuring us of complete forgiveness, complete love and forgiveness which we did not earn, which is offered to whomsoever will come. offered freely to all who turn to God in trust. Grace means the free gift of love and forgiveness and life eternal for you and you and you and them and them and them and them, whoever they are. And even if they break the law more blatantly than we think we do. Grace, if it is free, you cannot earn it. Grace, the gift of love from God through Christ. But we do a funny thing, very much like the Galatians did. We give money and we think, well, of course God loves me. I give money. Now, don't get me wrong. There is nothing wrong with giving money to the church, especially in the second week of July of this year. But if you give and you think God owes you something, you have stepped away from grace and you've stepped back into the law trying to earn your way into God's heart. You are already in God's heart, and Jesus is ample proof of that. You may think, God, I've suffered through long and boring sermons week after week after week. You owe me. I wondered if I get an amen on that. And you call these pews padded? You know, that's stepping backward into the law. We do mission projects. We do mission projects. And they are good things. But they can be done out of an overflowing of God's love out to others. Or they can be done trying to earn your way into God's heart. You are already in God's heart. It boils down to the center, into the focus of your faith. It is God who we humbly trust and follow. Or is it you and your ego and your need to appear good to others? I don't know. And I cannot know. God knows. I could call the division external faith for others to see or internal faith that is in love with God to such a degree that it simply overflows in love to others. External people can be loving in public and sons of Pharisees at home. Internal faith. Internal people have a glow about them that is consistent in the light and in the dark. Now, the Ten Commandments still matter, of course, but they are part of what leads us to our knees when we really try to do them, not just externally, but internally. And we know that they are right, but we find out that we cannot keep them. Not in our wandering thoughts. Not without help. External obedience with only our personal resources will not do. But God in Christ has promised the spiritual power, the change, the new attitude, the new way that allows us to love God completely and love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And isn't that the Ten Commandments rolled into one sentence? And it is so much easier to love yourself when you know that you have failed and found that God's love and God's grace and forgiveness was there waiting to pick you up and dust you off and say, now, this time, let's try it together. One of my relatives last week was wondering about my father's faith. And he immediately went to, well, he's basically a good man. Good is an English word that comes from God and godly. And I really didn't know where to start. Who of us is good enough to make God owe us anything? The old rabbis used to say that the law was a chain from heaven to earth, and if you broke one link, then the chain is broken and you lay broken and separated on the ground. The hope that any of us have, the hope that I have, is not in my own goodness, but in God's grace. God's free will to love and forgive and accept and embrace me. God's grace to empower me and to change me and to grow in me a new heart that really cares on the inside, not just acts nice on the outside. I suppose we could look at the law as ego-centered faith. I did this. I fulfilled that. I obeyed this. I obeyed that. I have kept the law since my youth, said a man once to Jesus. And then along came Jesus, who defined faith as a matter of the heart, a heart that trusts God. And from Abraham on down, that seems to be what God has always wanted from us, trust? Do you trust your own incomplete goodness, or do you trust God's all-consuming love and grace? God's grace is free. God's love is free. God's forgiveness is free. But there are those who would take three giant steps backward and call it a new thing and add Jesus plus this and Jesus plus that until Jesus becomes very small and the new rule makers become almost godlike. Recall how harshly Jesus judged the scribes and the Pharisees who said men must do this and women cannot do that, eat this, not that. And they added rituals and they added rules. Jesus said so. He said that they added to the law and made it a weight too heavy for men to bear. And he said of them in Matthew 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither enter yourself nor allow those who would enter to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you traverse the sea and the land to make a single convert, and when he becomes a convert, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides." Jesus was mad. They tracked people down, as they did here in Galatia, and loaded them down with religious rules and regulations and kept themselves and their converts away from the new thing that God was doing in Christ. Grace. Freely given grace. There are people who just want to convert you over to their side, and the side that they have chosen and wrapped their ego around this or that. But God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble trust in God is what Jesus lived. It is what Jesus preached. Accept God's love and accept God's power to pass it on. We are not good. God is. If we reflect God's goodness, it is God who gets the credit. Love, forgiveness, and grace begin and end with God. For us, and most importantly, also for our enemies, and for whomsoever will come, even those we consider outside our circle. The good news is not just for me and people like me. It is for the world. C.S. Lewis, who was an atheist and became a strong defender of Christian faith, he walked into the middle of an argument one time and asked, "What is all this rumpus about?" And they were arguing about the uniqueness of Christianity. And C.S. Lewis said, "Well, that's easy. It's grace. Christianity is unique because it preaches grace." He was correct. The very heart of the gospel is that God accepts us with no conditions when we put our trust in His life and death and resurrection in Christ. God opposes the proud who think they can make God owe them, and gives grace to the humble who know their need and dependence upon God. As Paul says in today's reading from Galatians, if you have to boast about something, boast about Jesus. My faith is not about me or mine, or even being better than this one or that one. It is about God and God's grace for me and for you and for my enemies and for the outsiders. God's grace, not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. It is bigger than we think. Thanks be to God. Amen. receive this blessing, the blessing of the full knowledge of the great love of God, our Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the power and the comfort that you get through the Holy Spirit, the comfort that Jesus promised would pass anything the world can offer. You have been blessed. Be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.